It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Earnings season continues today as Twitter gives us a quarterly profit update. While it's had some user growth, the company still faces challenges when it comes to going truly mainstream. So what does it have to do to deliver? Marketplace's Dan Weissman digs in.
Twitter makes some money by selling ads, just not a profit. Analysts say ads aren't a great fit for what users want from Twitter. But analysts also say profits have to be there somewhere. Twitter is too useful to too many people. Here's Rebecca Lee from the Altimeter Group.
You know, I always like to say that the day television was invented is not the day that the 30-minute sitcom was invented or the one-minute advertising spot.
But some of their analogies suggest Twitter's success is not a sure thing. Rob Enderle invokes the old joke about the kid who smiled like crazy while he shoveled through a pile of horse manure.
So I honestly think there's a pony in that pile, but it's harder to discover because Twitter is just so very different than everybody else is.
He thinks Twitter's got maybe 12 to 18 months to find that pony, which, again, he thinks is in there somewhere.
So somebody eventually will come up with something that works. And if it isn't Twitter, Twitter will likely be replaced by that company.
Like Google replaced Yahoo and Facebook replaced MySpace. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Last week, we told you about a new app in San Francisco that promises its valets will meet you wherever you are and park your car for you. Well, today, let's explore something a little closer to the hearts of millions of other commuters, public transportation. It's changing in New York, thanks to innovations in sensors, big data, and our mobile devices. Enter Jeff Mackey, who works at a firm called Control Group. I went out onto 3rd Avenue in Midtown with Mackey recently to explore some of his company's efforts to use urban planning and new technology to improve public transit.
What are you doing right now?
Scanning the QR code that's been put by MTA on the bus schedule, and it's going to pull up bus time on my phone here.
And so you just scan this QR code to basically give you real-time information about where the actual bus is.
You can see right. That the 102 is 0.8 miles away and the 103 is two stops away.
Are you getting the information that this bus is 0.8 miles away from its departure time, or is there something on the bus that is telling you where the bus is?
That's a good question. There's something on the bus that tells us where the bus is, and basically every 30 seconds each bus sends a new update. And then every time one of those updates comes in, the system looks at where that bus should be according to the schedule and tries to sort of match it to its best fit in the schedule.
We just got on the 103,
I believe.
We know that certain areas of the city are served better than others.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sort of witness those socioeconomic challenges in the work that you do?
I'm not actually a big Uber user, I'll confess, but I don't think you can request a taxi with a wheelchair in it, for instance. Meanwhile, like, you know, if I were in a wheelchair, I could get on any MTA bus. So
right.
I think that's an important thing to sort of consider in terms of social equity. I mean, transportation is access to economic opportunity, so it's really important that it be available to all.
When you think about the future, what do you see?
I think we're going to have better real-time information. I think it's going to be Uberized, as it were. You know, as network connectivity becomes available underground, we're actually all sensors when we carry our smartphones through the subway system. You know, like the MTA being able to see this smartphone move from Brooklyn Bridge City Hall to, you know, 42nd Street and do that in 5 minutes is an important piece of data that it can use to optimize its operations. And same if it sees this phone sitting on the platform at Grand Central along with 10,000 others for 20 minutes. I think the other is it's going to include public and private options, but I think you're also going to see the role of public authorities change. MTA could someday operate driverless buses.
See how it all plays out, I guess.
How it all plays out.
Jeff Mackey, product development manager at Control Group, also worked on MTA bus time for open plans and helped with MTA's touchscreen subway kiosks. Jeff, thank you very much. Before we go today, how's your emoji game? I'm trying to improve mine, but I'm also conscious of the fact that a lot of emoji looks like me. Well, not exactly like me, but generally Caucasian. There are some people who are trying to change that. One of them is Katrina Parrott. She's the founder of iDiversicons, a startup that's trying to expand the cultural universe of emoji. Katrina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Where did this come from?
The idea came from my daughter, Katie Parrott. She's a senior at the University of Texas. And she came home one weekend and made a comment, why don't emoticons look like the person sending them? And she says, I'd love to be able to send my friends an image that looked like me. So we teamed up with a programmer to create the software and hired an illustrator to create our emojis.
Why is it so important to you that people see other people and other things in media like themselves?
We are living in an age of inclusiveness versus exclusiveness. We need to make sure that everybody has or feels a sense of belonging. It really does something to my psyche when someone sends me an image because you don't really need words. The pictures tell the story.
Katrina Parrott manages iDiversicons in League City, Texas. Katrina Parrott, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, what's your favorite emoji character? Remember when we played Silicon Tally with Marketplace's Sabri Benashour?
I like the painted nail emoji. It communicates poise after insulting someone. Yeah, like I'm doing my nails now because you're worthless.
I think mine might be the guy with the sunglasses. Tweet me yours. I'm at the Brock Johnson. And that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.